Honor you, Father. I thank you for a brand new year. I thank you for all the things that you are doing, even right now in the earth. Thank you for the plans that you have for us in 2026, our year. I thank you that your plans are unfolding, that your will is being fulfilled, and our lives are better for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So I believe that Pastor Jamal at least introduced our word, our theme for the house for this year. On New Year's Eve, during the New Year's Eve gathering, and I know that some of you were here and maybe others caught it by way of live stream. Let me go back and first say, I am so grateful to the Lord. I'm so excited that on New Year's Eve, we had some folk baptized. Gladys and Bobby. Was there anyone else? Because Pastor Maurice and I were home. We were watching it and just rejoiced. And we took time to take communion as well. It's a sweet presence here. It was wonderful presence. And we participated in the prayers and in the intercession that took place on that night. But I know Pastor Jamal shared the thought, the word that I believe God gave me for this house, that 2026 is a year of divine intervention. Enough is enough. Say that with me. Divine intervention. Enough is enough. Say it one more time. Divine intervention. Enough is enough. I think that you have some sense of what it means when you hear the phrase or someone says, enough is enough. Just the statement in itself speaks to the fact that something needs to stop. Means that it would be no more tolerated. Enough is enough is an idiom used to express that a limit has been reached. And something must stop. Do you have anything that's been going on in you, around you, that you just need to say, enough is enough? Enough is enough. Some of that water would be fine. Enough is enough. It's a way to tell someone that their actions have gone on far too long. Or happened too many times. And it's time for them to stop. I'm laughing because over this holiday, we had our family and all of our children and their spouses and our 12 grandkids. And I need you to know there was about 8, 10, 12, 15 times that I was thinking, enough is enough. So I just had a flashing moment right there of a couple of those incidences where I wanted to help a couple of grandchildren get saved right then. In sharing this particular theme, I begin to pray into God, what do you mean by this? And what I found is, our God is a God who every now and then will just bring it down to enough is enough. We live in this dispensation of grace. Say dispensation of grace. And just thank God for it right now. Come on. Thank Him for mercy and thank Him for grace. Hallelujah. Because how many of us could say, if it wasn't for that mercy and grace, I don't know where I'd be. And I'm sure glad he didn't say, enough is enough. And yet there are times when he will say, enough is enough. Enough is enough is used to indicate that a situation has become intolerable and needs to stop. It's often used in situations where someone has been repeatedly doing something annoying, inappropriate, or harmful. When we look throughout creation and we look throughout all of life, you'll see these points where God just simply says, enough is enough. And in that, he shows up through divinely intervening in situations and in matters and in lives. God's going to help us over the next couple months and maybe a few months to really unpack and understand what it means when he says, enough is enough. As I found myself beginning to read through the scriptures from that lens, immediately I came to Isaiah 59, which is our passage of scripture. Can you just put that on the screen? Let's go to, Deborah, let's go to Isaiah 59 and New American Standard, starting at verse 14. We're going to pick it up there. No, I'm sorry. Go back to verse 1. We're going to do 1 through 1 and 2, and then I'm going to go to verse 14. In Isaiah 59, verse 1, it says this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened or short, that it cannot save. Neither is his ear dull or hardened, that it cannot hear." It says, "But your iniquities, your sins, have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear." Now, over the next few weeks, we will read through this entire passage, but for the sake of time today, and this is more introduction than anything else, I just want to get it in your hearing and begin to stir your heart around the expectation, the divine expectation, with the underlining theme, enough is enough. Here it says, and the writer makes it clear, the issue isn't God, it's you. The issue isn't God, it's us. He is immutable. He is unchangeable. And often, we act like the issue is God. But the writer here makes it clear, his hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear hardened that he cannot hear. It's you. It's you. And so when it goes on, it reads out all the things that are happening, and again, we'll get to that a little later, the wickedness that's happened, and then you get to verse 14, and this is where I want to begin to just draw attention for our time. 14 says, "And justice is turned back," or backwards, "and righteousness stands afar off. For truth has stumbled," King James says, "fallen in the street, and righteousness," King James says, "equity cannot enter. Yet truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself prey." Meaning those who turn to do good, you're going to become a target by those that are doing evil. It goes on and says, "Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and was astonished that there was no one to intercede." And then it says, then. Mm-hmm. "Then his own arm brought salvation to him." So let's go to the same passage in the Message Bible. And Deborah, we're picking it up at 15 through 19.
Thank you, Jesus.
14 in the Message Bible says, justice is beaten back, righteousness is banished to the sidelines, truth staggers down the street, honesty is nowhere to be found, good is missing in action, and anyone renouncing evil is beaten and robbed. Now, for a moment, I want us to just recognize what I'm reading, and if I took time to read the whole thing, because in one translation, it talks about the sin of a nation. This is like reading newsprint, the headlines of our nation and the world that we live in right now. So it doesn't take a whole lot of prophetic insight. It just takes being able to see things from God's perspective and recognize that we are living this out right now. Truth has fallen in the street. Equity cannot enter. Everything that has to do with rightness and balance is being done away with. And I want you to recognize, and I need you to know, that we have entered a moment where we are about to experience divine intervention like we have never seen it or read about it. Because God once again is saying, enough is enough. I want you to know that nobody gets away. I need you to get that. Nobody gets away. One writer said it like this, you might get by, but you won't get away. I want you to recognize that as we have entered this year, and I shared some things with you last year that I said were time-sensitive adjustments that had to happen by the end of 2026. There are going to be things that are happening in 2026 that are divinely orchestrated by God. It's going to be divine intervention, and the backdrop of it is God is saying, enough is enough. I want you to know that you've got to see it, though, from a kingdom perspective and from a global perspective. I happen to be reading an article, and let me see here if I can pull this up real quick. It's good to read. It's good to stay connected with the larger body of Christ, what's happening in the earth, what's happening in the world. And I sent this to our leaders just to help them recognize how God is speaking to us. When God spoke to me, divine intervention, enough is enough, my first thought was, man, that's strong. But then I recognized his vantage point, except that we find ourselves in the realm of the Spirit, will never be our vantage point. When we learn to live out of the Spirit and through kingdom eyes, then we can see things and we can hear things. So then you begin to have a kingdom eyesight, and you begin to have kingdom hearing. So you begin to be able to tap into and recognize what God is doing on a larger scale, on a global scale. So I'm reading this article about how Christians in Venezuela are responding to the invasion by the current administration. Now, if you've been reading news, watching any kind of news outlets, you'll know there was the season of bombing these boats that they said were carrying drugs. They're still trying to figure that out, and is that the case? When I first heard about the invasion and the capturing, if you will, or the arresting of the president and his wife, my first thought was, This is crazy. What business do we have doing this kind of stuff? And I started to get a little, some kind of way about it. Because really I'm trying to judge a matter before it's time. Some of y'all need to write this down. Never judge a matter before it's time. Because that's how God is with you and me and us. Because as I'm reading the article and I'm still feeling some kind of way, I come across they talked to a couple of the pastors over there and Christian leaders and wanted their perspective. Say perspective. Wanted their perspective. See, here's our challenge oftentimes. We live out of this Western American perspective. That's why if you can't travel, you do well to watch the Travel Channel. You do well to subscribe to National Geographic. You would do well to find things that are going to help you become more enlightened so that your perspective is broader than the small world you may live in. So I'm reading it, and then all of a sudden I come across this right here. From exile in Florida. Venezuelan leader, I don't want to mess up his name. Last name, Lopez. Founder of March for Jesus in Venezuela. Now, how many of you have heard of March for Jesus? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So March for Jesus is all over. It's been highly effective in reaching people and sharing the gospel, proclaiming Jesus as Lord and King. It says this, as he's now founder of the March for Jesus in Venezuela, described the capture of Nicolas Maduro and his transfer to U.S. territory as divine intervention. And the fulfillment of justice for a nation that has suffered for so long. I read that and I had to repent. I said, God, I don't know what I think I know. See, we live in America. There's believers all over the world. Not everyone is praying the same thing. And in this instance, I realized there are believers over there praying that this leader would be removed. I'm sorry, I just had a moment because it was like I heard some of y'all say, we praying that here too. But don't do that just yet. Just say, God, let your sovereign will prevail. Come on, say it. Let your sovereign will prevail. Because you and I will judge a matter before it's time. But every time God gets to enough is enough, it's because he has let that thing go on long enough. He has let someone be in position just long enough to fulfill his will, which is always going to be beyond what you and I can see, think, whatever. And then enough is enough, and he brings it into that thing. Now, let me just give a couple of examples here, and then we're gonna wrap this up for now. But is this helping you to have some sense of what our theme is for the year?
Yes, absolutely.
So going back here real quick in Isaiah 59, and again, that verse 14, says justice is beaten back, righteousness is banished to the sidelines, truth staggers down the street, honesty is nowhere to be found, good is missing in action, anyone renouncing evil is beaten and robbed. That's today. That's our reality even today. But I love what it says here. It goes on and says, God looked and saw evil looming on the horizon, so much evil, says, and no sign of justice. He couldn't believe what he saw, not a soul around to correct this awful situation. So he did it himself. Divine intervention.
Yes.
I love that. So he did it himself. Divine intervention. Enough is enough. God is looking. He recognizes there's not a man that can do this. I'm going to wrap myself up in flesh. And I'm going to go handle this myself. Because enough is enough. So he did it himself, took on the work of salvation, fueled by his own righteousness. He dressed in righteousness, put it on like a suit of armor, with salvation on his head like a helmet, put on judgment like an overcoat, and threw a cloak of passion around his shoulders. He'll make everyone pay for what they've done. Enough is enough. Fury for his foes. And just deserts for his enemies. Enough is enough. Even the far-off islands will get paid off in full. In the west, they'll fear the name of God. In the east, they'll fear the glory of God. For he'll arrive like a river in a flood stage, whipped in torrent by the wind of God. I'll arrive in Zion as Redeemer. I love it. I love it. I love it. You've got to understand the whole plan of salvation was God's divine intervention.
Yes, that's right.
He marked time until the appointed time and said, now we're going to go handle this ourselves. And when it's done, it's done. I believe that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he began to pray and it says, it was as drops of blood coming off of his forehead, the weight of what was coming on him, the responsibility of it, the pressure that he was feeling emotionally, the pressure that he was feeling in his physical frame.
Hallelujah.
And when he said, Father, if there's any other way to do this, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And I believe when he stood up, he said, enough is enough. And he was set to walk it out the final days of his life.
Glory to God.
In this same passage, then he gives this particular promise. Verse 21 says, as for me, God says, this is my covenant with them. My spirit that I've placed upon them and the words that I've given you to speak. They're not going to leave your mouths or the mouths of your children nor the mouths of your grandchildren. You will keep repeating those words and won't ever stop. God orders. There is a thing called a godly legacy.
Yes.
There is a thing called a godly legacy. And God would that every one of us, having been redeemed, would then search out, seek out those that we can impart godly legacy to. Inheritance is what you leave behind. Legacy is who you leave behind. And I want to tell you, on last Sunday, Pastor Maurice and I, we got a glimpse of legacy, godly legacy. As all of our children and our grandchildren, we all gathered in the room where we started this ministry. In the same very room. Started out with the seven of us. Now there's over 20-some of us all in this room, 12 grandbabies. And we're all sitting around, and we're listening to C.C. Winans, Goodness of God. Then we go from there to Aware Worship with Trusting God. And just kind of took my camera, just spanned it and recognized this is God, this is God. This is God fulfilling his covenant. This is God fulfilling it.
Yes.
To see our grandbabies singing the goodness of God. Our grandbabies singing, I trust in God. my Savior.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Not knowing that the day will come when you will trust him even more. In this year of divine intervention, enough is enough. I want you to recognize that it will happen globally. It will happen in this nation, but it will also happen in your life and in my life as well. The God that we serve is a God who is compassionate, but he's also righteous, he's holy, and he's just. In the book of Genesis, you all know the story of Noah. That was a enough is enough moment. God looked out and saw the wickedness of man and said, I think I'm going to start over. But he didn't do it without compassion. He didn't do it without mercy. Noah was like the first evangelist of his generation. He's building the ark, and everybody asks, why are you building this? What are you building? It's going to rain. What is rain? Well, I'll tell you. I don't know much about it either, but I believe the God that told me to build this ark. And I don't have to tell you the story. You should know that story from Sunday school, back when you were a little kid, Noah's ark. But that was divine intervention at a moment when God said, enough is enough. But he was merciful because he didn't just do it in an instant. In an instant, he gave time. There were time for others, but their hearts just would not turn. I want you to understand that in this place of divine intervention, enough is enough. You don't have to judge anything. Your role, my role, is to live righteously, to live holy, to walk in the word of God and the will of God. And know that we are fulfilling our purpose in our generation.
Yes.
Because there are going to be things that happen. And my encouragement for all of us, as we look at the political landscape, the landscape of our nation and the world, that you not judge too quickly, like I did thinking about Venezuela, until I understood, wait a minute, there's believers over there too, and they're praying, but they're not praying the same thing I'm praying. And yet, when one leader can stand up and say, we see this as divine intervention, that's a time to pause and kind of get in that posture of Job. I thought I knew some things, but now I realize I thought more highly of myself, for your ways are too lofty for me.
Jesus.
So therein lies, even as we enter into this 21-day time of fasting and prayer, that it is. How do we think that? Discerning. Discerning. Discerning divine intervention. Because you can think you see it, and you can think you know it. And all it takes is one little article to have you think, okay, God, I repent. Because I'm thinking, you know, we messing up here. And yet, he's sovereignly, divinely orchestrating, answering the prayers of some believers in another part of the world that's dealing with something unlike what you and I are dealing with. So let me close on this example, and you know this one as well. In the book of Exodus, there's a passage where it says that, there's a passage where it says that God looks and he reminds himself, he remembers his covenant.
Yes.
And he recognizes, I've got to do something about the plight of my people. So he raises up a deliverer Moses. And Moses grows up in Pharaoh's house, in Pharaoh's court. God places him there, teaches him leadership skills, teaches him how to manage. Moses finds himself on the backside of the desert. He's ran away because he killed an Egyptian once he recognized his real identity and that it was his people that were enslaved. He killed an Egyptian. Moses was a murderer. Aren't you glad that God doesn't hold? That's a deep one, but just stay with me. Never judge a matter before its time. And never judge a person. Ever. Yeah, you thought I was going to say before their time. No, ever. For the Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. So when people ask you, what do you think about, did you hear about so-and-so? What do you think about? I don't know. I ain't going there. I'm not putting my mouth on it.
Yes.
Lest I be dealt with. Moses on the backside of the desert, he sees the burning bush. It's not consumed. He goes up and he meets God there. And God, first thing God says to him, you don't know me, I don't know you, but this is what I need you to do. I need you to take off them sandals because the ground you're standing on is holy. And then he says to Moses, you are my chosen deliverer. I'm going to use you to deliver my people from Egypt out of the hand of Pharaoh. And you know the bantering that goes back and forth with that. And then he says, listen, you're going to take Aaron with you. And Moses goes in obedience, and it starts. And he says, he goes to Pharaoh. God says, let my people go. Let my people go so that they may come and worship me. Come and worship. Didn't mean sing songs.
Right.
It meant be in relationship. A worshiper is one who's intimately acquainted with, has a daily relationship with God, exhibited through obedience. That's a worshiper. He said, let them go so they can come worship. Be in relationship with me. Be in fellowship with me. Moses goes and he tells Moses, okay, you say you can't talk too well. Here's what you're going to do. You got your rod. You're going to throw that down. It's going to do this. You're going to put your hand in. It's going to do this. He says, I'm going to give you some things that are signs. The challenge with signs, y'all, is they don't always read correctly. So he gets there, and everything Moses does, the magicians do. Until a certain point. See, I want you to recognize divine intervention, enough is enough, is meted out to its finality. So, Moses does these things, magicians do them, and then it comes to a point where God says, enough is enough. Moses takes his rod, hits the ground, it turns into pestilence, fleas all over the place. The magicians try to do it, they can't do it. They say, we perceive that this is the finger of God. I like that. They didn't say the hand. They didn't say the arm. They just said a finger, which meant there's a whole lot more behind this finger. From that point on, they could not do what Moses did. Divine intervention. Enough is enough. Then, as it gets closer to their exodus, God keeps moving on Pharaoh's heart to not let them go. See, enough is enough with God may be different than the enough is enough you think it is. There were times when Pharaoh wanted to let him go, but God wouldn't let him let them go. Why? Because he's bringing this thing to finality. I'm telling you, 2026, year of divine intervention, enough is enough. Some things are going to come to finality, meaning it's done. I'm talking about for you personally, for many personally, and in this nation and in the earth. Mark my words. And you're going to need the discernment to be able to see it and understand what's taking place, because things aren't always as they seem. And so, they get to a point where God says, okay, enough is enough. Tell my people to get in their houses, sacrifice a lamb, spread the blood on the doorpost, because on this night, death is coming to the firstborn of every household. But it will pass over where the blood is.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood.
There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. That's why sometimes it's okay to say, I plead the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Because the enemy knows he can't do anything with that. And so do the demons and devils. Can't do anything with the blood. The power is in the blood. The power is in the blood. The life is in the blood. That night was enough is enough. Pharaoh said, y'all got to go. And God said, let them go. And you know, it says they plundered them. But God still wasn't done yet. Because when God says enough is enough, he means it. So now, he causes Pharaoh to think, what have I done? Because that Exodus destroyed their economy. Those were the workers. They were valued by what they could do. Slave masters valued their slaves by what they could do. If one ran away, they saw that as dollars running. Now, I'm not going to go down that road too far. But Pharaoh said, we got to go get them back. And they head that way. And then you get to Exodus 14, verse 14. Which is God's final word on enough is enough. Can you put that on the screen? I think that's the right one. Exodus 14:14. And then we're done for right now. Go to 15. Go back to 13. There you go. Do not fear. Stand by. What's it say? And see the sound. We got to get that fixed, y'all. The salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish. I like that word. For you today. For the Egyptians have seen today, you will never see them again. Enough is enough. Divine intervention. So he tells Moses, you stretch out your rod. Divine intervention, God parts the sea. And they go into the sea parted on dry ground. Get all the way to the other side. He is so infuriated, Pharaoh, that he decides we're going after him. That's right. Sometimes you're going to have to walk through some things and let your enemy follow. You'll get to the other side, but they won't. Because divine intervention comes into play. And when God says enough is enough, he means it. Because in that moment, in that scenario, he wiped them all out. And the word that says, you will never see them again, never see them again forever. I like that. What he says, you'll never see them again, but then says, forever. The word for our house, 2026, a year of divine intervention. Enough is enough.
Thank you, Jesus.
Over these next 21 days, we want to posture ourselves to be discerning of what that means for us personally, what that means for us as a house, what that means for us in our communities, what it means for us in our nation. But let's start with us. That's what the 21 days is about. It's about you. It's about me connecting with God in a place of discernment that helps us to know how to navigate through what I believe is going to be a tumultuous year. But we will experience and we will see divine intervention. Amen? All right, praise God. I'm going to stop right there. Hallelujah.